The text of Scripture I want us to look at today with you from the Word of God is verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter number 5. It says, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." As Peter brings this first letter to a close, he does so in a most positive note. He wants God's people, yes, to see and to understand that God is one who is sovereign in all things. He wants God's people also to realize that there is a divine purpose in all that had happened to God's people in the day of the Apostle Peter. Peter also was wanting the Christians of his day to be hopeful, no matter how trying their circumstances in life may be. And in verse 10 here at the end of the chapter, he sets before God's people the reason why they should be hopeful. He says, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." In recent months, we have been going through a series of messages here in this letter, this first letter of Peter. And today we really want to conclude that current study, that current series of messages in this book. And it is these same words that I want us to look at today as we would conclude our messages in this book at this present time. It is these same words, verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5, I want us to look at and want us to consider. And just as it was important for God's people in the day of the Apostle Peter to be hopeful, so it is also God's will that all of us who are saved, all of us who belong to the Lord, that we too live hopeful lives in our day and generation. Indeed, the Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, "Hope thou in God." It says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." It says we are to be rejoicing in hope. In verse 13 of Romans chapter 15, it says there, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Dear Christian today, whatever your situation in life is, you and I who are saved, we are to abound in hope. We are to be abounding in hope, says that verse there in Romans 15, verse 13. Highlighting the importance of this matter, John Calvin, the great reformer, said, "When hope animates us, there is vigor in the whole body." And others who are saying, when the church of Christ is filled with hope, there will be vigor in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. If you and I, yes, are to be zealous for God in these trying and difficult times, then we must be a hopeful people. The hopeful Christian will be a zealous Christian for God in his day and generation. That being so, then let us look at this verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. As you look at this verse, there are four reasons in particular I want you to notice why God's people should abound in hope. First of all, the Christian can abound in hope because of God's grace. Look at how the verse begins. It says, "But the God of all grace have called us." And here you see how every believer in Christ has been called by God's grace unto salvation. And what is grace? It is the free, unmerited favor of God toward sinners. You see, salvation is all of grace from start to finish. It has nothing to do with the merit of man whatsoever. The Apostle Paul could say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Let me say that if you are still unsaved today, please realize and understand that you cannot be saved through any merit of yourself, through any merit of man or your church or an organization of man. No, you can only be saved by God's grace through faith in Christ and by trusting in his sacrifice alone for your salvation. You think of those famous words of Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. It says, "Therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again in Jonah 2, verse 9, it says that salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It's through God's grace. And if you are to be saved, you must take your place as a sinner before God. Acknowledge your need as a sinner. Confess your sins to God as a repentant sinner and put your faith and your trust in Christ alone, in His sacrifice, in His blood alone, to wash away your sin, to save your soul. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Please understand today that you can only be saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter here desired that the Christians in his day be hopeful. Why? Because they had been saved by God's grace. And believer, you too can be hopeful, for you too have been saved by God's grace. Yes, with the hymn writer, you can say, saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. And in saving you by His grace, God has all the grace that you need. He's all the grace that you need to live for Him, to live the Christian life to the end of your days here on earth. No matter how difficult your circumstances might be, no matter what trials you may face, the Bible talks about the manifold grace of God. In John chapter 1, verse 16, John says, of Christ and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. That speaks of the abounding grace of the Lord to His people. You think of how the Lord fed the 5,000. Think of how He caused the barrel of meal in the day of Elijah not to fail. These things all point to the bounteous, the abounding grace of God to His people. Turn your Bible back to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, and look with me please at verse number 6. Look at how that verse begins. It says of the Lord, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Christian, lay hold upon this truth today. He giveth more grace. God is more grace for you. He has given you grace. He has saved you by His grace. But it doesn't end there. He has grace for you today. Grace for you tomorrow. Grace for you throughout every day of your earthly life. The hymn writer says, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Yes, dear Christian, you can abound in hope today because of God's saving grace and God's sustaining grace in your life. But then secondly, we can say further that the Christian also can abound in hope because he is going to glory. Look again at what Peter says in this verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, God have called us, and he says these words, unto His eternal glory. Notice that phrase there, His eternal glory. Underline it and mark it in your Bible. Here you see how every believer has an inheritance in heaven. They are an inheritor of glory. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, back to the beginning of this epistle, and to the verses 3 and 4. Look at what it says there. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't it interesting to note that as Peter begins this epistle, he begins it with the reference to the believer's hope of glory. Now as he comes to the end of this very same epistle, he comes again by reminding God's people of the glory that awaits them. He says, God has called us by His grace, he says, unto eternal glory. What a prize awaits the child of God. You know, whenever a person is away on a journey, they can look forward to home. When you're ever away on holidays, it's nice to get away on holidays, but I'm sure you always look forward to getting back home again, to your home and to your family. Well, believer, always be looking forward to your eternal home as you sojourn in this life. Look forward to heaven. Look forward to glory. This is how it was with Paul the Apostle in his letter to the church at Philippi. He said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He had a desire for heaven, a desire for glory. He kept that before him in his life. Christian, you follow his example as you journey through life. Keep the prize of heaven, the prize of glory before you. If you read Psalm 73 and study it from the beginning to the end of that psalm, you'll see there that as the psalmist commences that psalm, he is downcast. He is despondent at the seeming prosperity of the ungodly. But whenever you come to the end of the psalm, there's a different note. There's a note of hope. Why? Because the psalmist's gaze is now fixed upon the Lord and the great hope of glory, the prize of glory that awaits him. In verse 24 of that psalm, he says to the Lord, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Christian, no matter what happens to you in this life, keep your eye upon heaven, your eye upon glory. No power on earth, no power in hell can rob you of that prize. Turn with me back, please, to John chapter 14, the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And I want you to see how this chapter begins. Maybe you're troubled today, dear Christian, because of the trials, the battles of life, because of the circumstances in our land at this time, and all that is going on. Listen here to what Christ says to you today from his word. And John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What's Christ talking about there? He's talking about glory, about heaven. Dear believer in Christ, you too can abound in hope, yes, because of God's saving and sustaining grace. But you can also abound in hope because you're going to glory. Glory is the great prize that awaits you. It's the great prize that lies before you after this world, after this scene of time. But then in the third place, we can say further today that the Christian can abound in hope because their present sufferings are only for a while. Look again at the language that Peter uses here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. He says, after that ye have suffered for a while, or suffered a while. No matter how difficult our trials may be as God's people, they're all only for a while. In other words, there's always an end to them. And we see from this verse that our sufferings are short term. They do not last forever. They're only for a while. Whereas our glory in heaven, it's eternal. It is forever. Turn in your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And you'll see this point more clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17 and 18. Look at what Paul says again here to God's people as he writes to them in their time of affliction. And here he reminds them that their affliction was only for a while, but whereas glory was forever and ever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice there how he refers to the afflictions of God's people as just as like being for a moment in comparison to the eternal weight of glory. In other words, they're only for a while. He says in verse 18, they're the things which are seen. In other words, the trials of this life, they are temporal. They do not last forever for the Christian. But the things which are unseen, heaven, the prize of glory, it's eternal. It never fades. It never ends. Child of God, you can abound in hope in this life because your sufferings, your trials are only for a while. Think again of what Peter says in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Notice again those words, though now for a season. Again, the reference is the trial is just for a while. It's just short-lived, so to speak. In the light of eternity, O believer in Christ in the battles of life, you can abound in hope. Why? Because there's always an end to the battles of life. There's always an end to the trials of life. Keep that before you. The psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The trials of this life are only for a while. But notice one final thought here from this verse. We can say that the Christian can abound in hope because his trials have always a purpose. His trials have always a purpose. You look at what Peter says here in the latter part of verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, after that you have suffered a while. Then he says this, the Lord by his grace will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And there you see the purpose of God in our trials. Christians see this. There is a divine purpose in all our trials in life. You notice that phrase there, make you perfect. It literally means to equip. And in the original language of the New Testament, those same words were used back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, when it speaks of James and John mending their nets as fishermen. And the thought there is this, as a fisherman mends his nets so they can do more fishing, so God equips us and he mends us as Christians so that we might be able to serve him more and more. And he does this through the trials, through the battles of life. You remember what Job said? He could say, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Then notice also the mention there of that word establish in the verse. This shows that God uses trials to establish us in our faith, to cause us to be more firmly anchored in the Lord. David could say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and the rock there is Christ. Whenever trees are grown in a nursery, annually the roots of those trees will generally be pruned, and there's a purpose in that. This leads to more roots, which enables the tree to establish better whenever it is planted out in a garden or out in the land. And likewise, God prunes our lives, your life and my life, with trials. Why? So that we can be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Verse 10 here also mentions the word strengthen. And that really shows us how our trials and difficulties can make us strong in our faith. This was the case of Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks there about the thorn in the flesh. He prayed about this, but God did not remove it. In fact, he promised him grace to live with that thorn in the flesh. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What was the outcome of that trial in Paul's life? It was that in his weakness he was made strong. Listen to what he says in the latter part of verse 9 and verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There you see that in his trial, Paul was made strong. Yes, he was weak. But through the grace of God, he was made strong in his trial. Now, it was the saintly Samuel Rutherford who said that grace grows best in winter time. And Christian, God allows trials to come into our life so that you and I might lean more and more upon the Lord, that we might lean more and more upon his everlasting arms. And in doing so, we will be made strong. By leaning upon the Lord, you'll be strengthened more and more. And notice there in the final part of verse number 10, the words, and settle you. And that really means to lay up a good foundation. Trials, they cause you and I to depend more and more upon the foundation of God's Word. And when this happens, we shall be grounded and settled in our faith. We'll not be blown about by every wind of false doctrine. You remember what the psalmist said? He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." The afflictions and the trials of his life drew him to the Word of God, drew him to the foundation of the Word of God. It said years ago of a particular sailor who was shipwrecked on a deserted island, and that from the salvaged wreckage of a ship, he made himself a shelter, and he prayed, yes, for deliverance, and he daily scanned the horizon for any passing ships that might be coming that way. One day his shelter went up in flames, and he lost whatever possessions he had. And he was destitute, and he felt that all hope of life was now gone for him. But you know, he was wrong, because a passing ship saw the smoke of his burning shelter and came to his rescue. By the loss of his possessions really brought about his deliverance. His trial in that circumstance was for his good. And likewise, dear child of God, realize this, that the trials of life, the trials of our faith, are always for our spiritual good. You think of what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And in the trials of life, God is working out his good purpose in our life as God's people. Yes, whenever the unsaved faces trials and has to deal with the trials and battles of life, they have no hope. They have no hope in God, no hope in the Word of God. But this is not so for you and I who are saved. The trials of life, you and I in the Lord have a great hope. We have a great anchor for our souls in the Word of God and the grace of God and in the Lord our Savior. And when we lean upon the Lord in our trials, we find an inner strength. We are conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And we will bring more glory to the Lord in our life. You notice how Peter highlights this in the very next verse after our text. Verse number 11 of 1 Peter chapter 5. When he speaks of the Lord and he says, "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Yes, by leaning upon the Lord, dear Christian, in the battles of life, the Lord will enable you to glorify him more and more in your life and in the trials of life. Dear believer, in every trial of life, may you abound in hope. Because the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us here today around the Word of God. We thank thee today that thou art the God of all grace. We thank thee for sustaining grace, for saving grace, for preserving grace in the life of God's people. We thank thee, O God, that we are inheritors of heaven, inheritors of glory. Help us, Lord, day by day as your people to keep the prize of heaven before us. Help us to realize that in the trials of life, thou hast a purpose for good in our lives. Help us to lean upon thee more and more, that we might glorify the Lord in our life and in our testimony and by our witness. For any, Lord, with us today and they're not saved, they've know not the Lord as Savior, they've never tasted of the saving grace of God in their life today, they are without hope, without God, without Christ in this world. Lord, speak to them. May they realize, O God, as never before, that they're to be saved from the wrath to come and a lost eternity in hell. If they are to be sure of heaven and sure of glory, then now in time they must repent of their sins, be converted, and trust the Lord for salvation. Bless your word to this end today. Bless us now, Lord, as we had part one from the other in this fashion around the Word of God. Bless us over this thine own day, and enable us again to gather again this evening around the Word of God. Grant now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion this day and always. This we pray and this we ask in the Saviour's wonderful name. Amen.